Hey everyone, welcome to a very special episode of the 10 Movies Podcast. I'm Hemel Javeri alongside Brian Minter. This week we are going to take a break from our usual format and we're going to talk about Wonder Woman 1984.
So normally in the 10 Movies Podcast, Hemel, we pick an actor, we watch 10 of their most iconic films, and discuss them over the course of an enlightening and enjoyable season. But am I to understand we are not doing that today?
We are not doing that today. I think because Wonder Woman deserves our introspection, but also because it was such a bad movie, I need to vent about it to somebody.
Well, I feel like there's really two reasons we're doing this. Number one, as we gear up for the next season of the 10 Movies Podcast, we have found that people tend to listen to this podcast when we talk about a movie they've heard about, so there's that. But also, we saw this movie in a real live theater despite the pandemic, thanks to the efforts of your sister.
We did. So, in the interest of full disclosure, we rented out a theater. It wasn't that expensive, not very much more expensive than seeing a movie regularly. And we got 8 of our closest COVID-free friends together
felt
to watch
totally
it.
Safe.
Yeah, it felt totally safe. It was really good. Everybody kept their masks on. So don't send me mean messages.
But being in a movie theater again and watching a movie was so, like, it could have been, this movie wasn't great, spoiler alert, but it could have been twice as bad and I still would have been very happy with the experience.
I was really excited with the experience and I was so surprised at how weirdly nostalgic it felt to be like, oh, I'm in a movie theater with people again.
It's the best way to watch a movie, in a theater. It's so much better than just watching at home when you're distracted and blah, blah, blah.
I know, and like, for some Hollywood business, which we don't really talk about here, but like Wonder Woman was one of the first movies that HBO said, okay, we're going to release this on HBO and in theaters, and apparently that's going to be a new trend for the next...
Boo.
Yeah. Everyone's worried that it's going to phase out theaters, and like, no, it's not going to phase out theaters at all. People are not going to give up going to the theater, especially once this is all over.
Also, once you own the theater, what else are you going to do with that building, right? Like, you can't put some tables in there and serve gnocchi or anything. It's a movie theater. You can only do one thing with it.
That's true. So yeah, I don't think that means the end of the industry by any means, because watching it in a theater was really fun. And if you can do it safely, I still don't think you should do it, because it's not that good of a movie.
So before we talk about your dislike of the film, Wonder Woman 1984, is that it? Wonder Woman 1984, that's what it's called?
Yeah, that's it.
What happens in the movie, for those who have not yet seen the film?
It's
convoluted.
It's convoluted, and I know you're not going to be happy with how I discuss it, but to give you the short version...
Why do they make these movies so every single superhero movie is 2.5 hours long, and the world's blowing up. Why do they do this over and over? Just make a 90-minute, two-hour movie where they fight a bad guy and have some conversations.
And make some jokes. That's it. That's all
yeah,
I need.
Yeah, that's all we want.
That's all I need. I want to see them do some superhero shit, and then I want to see them get the hell out of there. I don't need anything else. But to get back to your original point, I'm going to wait for the airplane to pass.
As always, we are podcasting from Hemel's patio, which is directly under the flight path at National Airport. So if you hear a jet overpowering our voices, that's what's going on.
So the plot for 1984, a little convoluted. I'm going to start by saying that this is very much a Diana Prince story versus a Wonder Woman story.
Yeah.
The premise is a monkey's paw premise, and I'm not even making that up. It's directly referred to in the plot several times, but Diana in 1984 is kind of Wonder Woman, but she's still on the DL, and she is working as an archivist in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian National History Museum.
Now, for those who have not watched any of these movies, Diana Prince is Wonder Woman's secret identity.
Okay, how do you not know that? Come
well,
on.
Well, I don't know.
Everybody knows that, and if you don't, Google it. So she's working as an archivist, and there's a weird gemstone that they find that apparently grants wishes. And it falls into the hands of Maxwell Lord, who is Pedro Pascal.
He's a conniving businessman.
Yeah, he's a shyster. He's the grifter of the 80s. And long and short, and I know you're going to fill in the blanks here, but is that everybody makes a bunch of wishes, and the world goes totally to shit. And
because the stone grants your wish, but then it does something bad. It takes something away
from you. It takes
something
essential away from you in exchange for that wish coming true. So everybody makes wishes. A whole bunch of bad stuff happens. And then Diana undoes it all by pleading to somebody's humanity or begging people to recall their wishes or something. And that's literally the end of the movie. And somewhere in there, Kristen Wiig is a cheetah. That's it.
Yeah,
that's the movie.
I think that's the movie. I think, yeah, Kristen Wiig plays a co-worker of Diana Prince's, and she's kind of mousy and, you know, a nerdy, and she sees Diana Prince, who's so beautiful and confident and together, and she says, oh, I wish I could be like her, not realizing that this woman has superpowers. So then she gets superpowers, and she's the cheetah, who's, I don't know, tough and fast and brave. But the thing it takes from her is her humanity, and she becomes an awful person. And also, Wonder Woman wishes that her dead boyfriend would come back.
Right.
And he comes back, and he's very handsome and charming.
We need to spend a long time talking about Steve Trevor, because I need to figure out what exactly this hold is that this man has on this woman, because she's been pining for him for like almost 100 years.
Yeah. Let's come back to that.
Let's
come
back to
it. I think
that's
a bit of a narrative misstep.
So
that is basically what happens in the movie.
That's the plot.
So what's dumb in these movies is that like every single one, almost without fail, the stakes always have to be the destruction of the world. And it's so boring. I will, and I think it's poorly done, but I will at least give the filmmakers props, because in the end, in every other one, the way to stop the world being destroyed is the main character or characters have to punch a monster until it's dead. In this one, the way that she has to stop the world being destroyed is to give a speech about togetherness, which is stupid, but at least she's not punching a giant monster to save the world.
I will say, though, that I would much prefer that she punch a giant monster, because we do not get enough films with women punching giant monsters, right? Like let's take some of this girl power stuff out of the film for a while, but the entire concept of Wonder Woman is that she is incredibly powerful and basically rivals Superman in terms of her abilities. And this was our chance to kind of get to see that. And there's none of it.
Yeah, she doesn't do a lot of Wonder Womaning, which is really disappointing.
Yeah, she doesn't do any of it. There's like one action sequence in the beginning, and she's in a mall, and she's like trying to stop some robbers. But like, that's what mall cops are for. That's not what Wonder Woman is for. You don't.
And I actually,
that's
like
not
that
why you're
sequence,
calling her in.
That, so yeah, the movie starts with her and in a mall fighting some like dumb bank robbers or whatever. You see so little. It's like we're like an hour in before you see her actually Wonder Womaning.
Yeah.
I definitely felt like they realized, like, oh, wait, we forgot to put Wonder Woman in our movie. Let's go back and do an unrelated action scene as like a cold open.
Yeah.
But even when she does do stuff in the movie, like the whole shtick of Wonder Woman and what makes her cool is that she's a fighter, right? Like she should be punching and kicking and using her bracelets to stop bullets. And she does a little of that, but most of the time in the action sequences, the movie has her leaping and flying and lassoing, and it's not real interesting a lot of the time.
No, it isn't. None of it is interesting, and part of it is that she's losing her powers, but they had a really good premise, right? Like, they had an interesting premise of what would Diana be willing to kind of give up her powers for, and they squandered it totally. Like, maybe there's
the
an interesting...
Yeah, the wishing thing is interesting. Yeah, but I agree. It doesn't work really well.
So, can we talk about the cast for a second?
Yes. So
let's run through it.
We should probably begin with the Woman of Wonder herself.
Gal Gadot.
She's amazing. She's a superhero. It's just incredible.
She's amazing. She is perfectly cast as Wonder Woman. In the first Wonder Woman, she's just phenomenal, right? Like, she fit the role, she fit the character, and her, I'm not going to say that Gal Gadot was a great actress, I think, but her natural kind of reserve fits the character really well.
Is it Gadot? Is that the proper pronunciation?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I do. She's got this this ineffable, like, star thing. Like, it's not, yeah, I don't know, I don't think she's a bad actress, but I don't think, it's not that she's such a great actor, and obviously she's a very beautiful woman, but it's not that she's so, like, gorgeous. It's this, it's something...
Yeah.
Like, you just want to watch her do stuff. She really feels like a superhero. She feels like a supernatural being, like, who is greater than normal people.
She's obviously beautiful, but the way she carries herself, the way she wears the costume, she is able to pull off, like, being a superhero. Just like Henry Cavill is able to pull off being Superman, even though
I'm not going to go that far. I think she is a rare example. Yeah, you see this person, you're like, that costume doesn't look silly on her.
Right.
And this person actually understands that she can fly and is immune to bullets.
Yeah, yeah. So that works. So Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Kristen Wiig as, I don't even know what her character name is. I just know that she turns into a cheetah.
I think Minerva is her name. But yeah, she's Cheetah is the sort of supervillain she becomes. She's like, I think this movie actually, there's two villains in the movie. And I think it would have been better if there had only been one villain. her plot line is pretty good, right? Like, she, you know, wants to be like Wonder Woman, and then she becomes very tough and very evil, and she takes it out on her. It's just that she doesn't really seem to have a lot to do in the film.
I don't think we ever need to see a supervillain again that is born out of, like, social awkwardness. Like, there's so, you know, maybe she's socially awkward, that's fine, but that's not a reason. It's also portrayed as this, like, character flaw to a degree, and I hate that so much.
I don't know if, like, yeah, in the beginning she's awkward and she's bumbling, but I think you're supposed to feel kind of sympathetic towards her. Like, she's not, you know, dysfunctional. And like the shtick that I think worked well was that she tells the stone I wish I could be like Diana, meaning I wish I could be tall and beautiful and confident, and, you know, not realizing that also involved, yeah, the wish gave her superpowers.
Well, yeah, but, you know, she's Kristen Wiig. Like, stop making clearly hot people kind of unattractive, right? Like, just because she's a little clumsy and just because her skirts are a little too long, that does not mean that she's ugly and needs to be Diana Prince.
I see what you're saying. I didn't think the movie was saying she became a villain because she was socially awkward. I think it was saying this socially awkward person, and as she gets more confident, she gets, you know, kind of hotter and taller, right, and dresses better.
So that the socially awkward person was drawn to Diana Prince,
yes,
because of all these natural qualities. And I kind of wish, like, one of the things that I hate in movies, you know this, is that when women are just not allowed to be friends, like, they immediately have to turn into rivals. And it was so much more interesting to watch that friendship be a friendship than them immediately being
villains.
I actually liked it
in the very beginning when... yeah, so Diana Prince meets this, like, you know, kind of awkward lady, and the woman, and, you know, Kristen Wiig says, "Can we have lunch today?" And she goes, "No, I'm busy today." And, like, politely, but, like, that's what you would actually do if, like, a weird person at work wanted to be friends. You'd be like, "I'm sorry, I'm actually kind of busy. You know, see you later," and just leave. Like, that was perfect.
There is Pedro Pascal, woefully squandered as Maxwell Lord, who's really the villain here.
Yeah, I agree. He's the chief villain. And I feel like he's clearly a Trump analog, like,
yeah,
not the current bloodthirsty, deranged Trump, but like the 80s greedy, vain Trump. He even has a very sort of Trumpish pompadour. And so he's this businessman who's overextended and his credit's coming due, and he gets this, he's been looking for this wishing stone, and he, and this is the convoluted bit, he becomes the wishing stone.
Yeah.
He wishes for more wishes, basically.
That's basically what he does. It's like, I need you to make me the wishing stone so that I get all the wishes.
And I thought, like, I think he's, again, I think there's two decent villains here. There should have only been one. He's, like, you kind of buy him.
No.
As a, like, well, he's a very... He's kind of fun to watch. Like, when he's running around being... you didn't enjoy him
as
the villain?
Oh, my God. I thought it was unwatchably bad.
Maxwell Lord, the bad guy.
I am coming off of a huge Pedro Pascal crush. I watched all of Narcos. I've seen Mandalorian. And this made me never want to watch him in anything ever again. I feel like he was woefully, woefully misdone.
I've only seen the first season of Mandalorian, in which the man never shows his face, so I don't have a...
Haven't seen the second season?
No, I mean, I'll watch it. I'm not opposed to it. I just haven't done it yet.
Wow.
Do you see his face anymore?
You see his face briefly.
Is he actually in the Mandalorian suit? Because I feel like they're overpaying to have, like, an A-list actor wearing a helmet for 99% of the show.
Okay, so my brief segue, since we are talking about Pedro Pascal here, but for the first season of The Mandalorian, they had a body double do a lot of stuff, and it was just his voice. And then the show, like, crazy took off, and he started coming in to, like, do all of the work.
I wouldn't if I were him. Yeah. But so he, well, I did, like, think he was, so it's a comic book movie, right? I don't want an in-depth emotional betrayal. I don't want interiority. But I like that he's, like, he's wigging out, and he's throwing his hair back, and he's kind of, like, he feels very, like, crazy and desperate and dangerous.
Oh.
And I like that he's the main villain of the movie, but he doesn't really have superpowers. Like, he's not turning into a monster, literally, which happens all the time.
One thing I also didn't like is the constant need in these superhero movies to humanize the villain.
Oh, he's got a son.
He has a son, and there's a good guy in there somewhere. And also this, like, I'm sorry, but I thought it was super cheap, the ending, where they tried to make it seem like because he is a poor immigrant that was kind of abused, you're supposed to feel more sympathy for him and how he turned out. And I'm like, no, just let him be fucking evil. Also, that is not a reason for you to turn around and do a bunch of bad shit, right? It's because you're an immigrant and your dad beat you or something.
Yeah, and I didn't, like, his motives were ultimately kind of unclear, right? Like, he wanted more and more power, which, right. You know, again, that's a real thing. We've seen it. But yeah, it didn't quite hold together. But I did think that if the movie had picked... I thought the movie would have been stronger if it had just been about Kristen Wiig as the villain, and it could have been on a human scale. Like,
yeah.
Kristen Wiig is turning into a horrible cheetah who's very poorly animated, and she's causing some trouble. Wonder Woman has to stop her. That could have been it.
That's it. It doesn't... This is a classic case of a movie trying to do everything when it didn't need to do any of that.
And then I would say the fourth major character is Chris Pine Steve Trevor. So here's a little side note. Like, you can't watch these movies and not think about the Marvel films to which
right.
they are, you know, a poor cousin. So Steve Trevor is Wonder Woman's handsome, competent, strong-jawed boyfriend
yes.
who was from the World War II era and was...
World
War I era and came back to a modern era. Basically the exact same thing as Captain America, who is also named Steve, who is also a handsome, strong-jawed guy from the World War I/II era who was thrust into the modern society. It's very, very lazy when you think of it like that, right? Like, we just saw all this shit, people.
Yeah, it is not really particularly original. I actually didn't really make the connection but it's true, except he's not... In that analogy, you know, Captain America is the hero, and he's just the boyfriend in this one.
Yeah, but it's the exact same. Like, so Chris Pine,
he's basically,
you know,
the Peggy. He's the Peggy.
But what we get a lot with, and Chris Pine's, you know, he's perfectly charming, whatever. He comes back from the past, and he's like, oh my God, cell phones, oh my God, Big Macs, I'm going to put on a fanny pack so I don't know any better. And it's funny-ish. But that is that's almost like copy and pasted from the Captain America movies when we saw the exact same kind of character doing the exact same kind of jokes. Like, it's very hacky.
It's super lazy. And I think the point of, there's a whole long interlude in the film where Steve Trevor comes back and he is marveling at all these great and incredible things that the world has.
Roombas, aerobicizing, cars.
I think the whole point is that we're supposed to see the world through Steve Trevor's eyes, right? Like, we're supposed to be like, oh, wow, society is great, even though we have all this terrible shit happening, because it comes into play at the end of the film, right? Like, well, Gal Gadot is like, everything you have is really great. You don't need to wish for any more. Like, she wants you to appreciate what you have, some, like, weird New Age bullshit. That is why Steve Trevor is in this film. And it is so weak and so unimaginative.
Yeah, I feel like you could have cut the boy. Like, he's fine, but, like, you just cut him out of the movie and it probably would have been better.
And also, we see him as Chris Pine, but he's basically inhabiting the body of some hapless dude.
Yeah, so he doesn't just, like, reappear. He takes over the body of someone.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible moral transgression that Wonder Woman has. Like, she's like, Steve, stay with me forever. And no one's like, oh, but what about the real dude who is, what, dead? A ghost? No one seems to know.
And... let me just, like, flip the tables here and talk about if it was a woman, right? Like, can you imagine the consent issues if, like, a man was having sex with a woman, but she was just possessed by his dead girlfriend?
I hadn't thought about that,
but like,
for sure.
Like, think about the consent issues here. It's not good.
And you mentioned earlier that, like, yeah, so he died in, what, 1940?
No, it's World War I. He died in, like, 1918.
Okay, yeah. So he's been dead for, like, 60, 80 years.
Yeah.
She's, as you said, she's been pining for him for all this time, which, so we just saw the last Wonder Woman movie, the guy died. So in terms of, like, total runtime, he's only been gone for 10 minutes. So we don't really have this sort of visceral sense of, like...
Right.
Like, if this was, like, 9 movies later, we'd be like, oh, my God, the boyfriend from a long time ago.
Right. So, like you said, like, you were talking about Marvel films. It's like when Bucky comes back in Winter Soldier, right? Like, he dies in Captain America, the First Avenger, but then you got a whole bunch of Marvel shit in between.
Yeah, it feels like time has passed.
And time has passed. Like, you see him, you see, what's his name? Steve Rogers. Like, you see Steve Rogers in Ultron and in the Avengers film.
I don't know the chronology, but yes.
But yeah,
exactly.
But you see him kind of be like, and then when Bucky comes back, you're like, oh shit, it's that guy.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's boyfriend died and then came back. Yeah, immediately.
Immediately.
And they do the bare minimum. Like, you get the sense of, like, oh, she's, like, staring wistfully at black and white photos. So they give you, like, a sense that time has passed. But, it like, emotionally, nothing has passed for you, the viewer, because we just saw this guy in the last movie.
And, again, this is the other problem that I have with so many films is the need to centralize a love story when you absolutely do not need to centralize a love story.
Yeah, and how is this lady not meeting dudes? Like, if this woman walked into a party, every single man will be following her around like a puppy. She could have met somebody if she was interested.
She could have. What else do we need to talk about?
Well, okay, we should talk about whether or not the film was woke. But before that, the only reason you go see these big dumb superhero movies is for the production design and the visual effects. You don't go for the acting. You don't go for the story. You go for the, like, holy shit, I'm seeing a thing that looks like it's really happening.
Yeah.
And nothing in this movie looks like it's really happening. It's
no.
The CGI is so shitty. She's always, like, jumping and flying and leaping, and it never looks like a human being.
No.
The, like, big, she has a big hand-to-hand fight with Cheetah at the end. They've turned her into a real cat for some reason, even though she's just had cat-like powers heretofore. And it looks like garbage. It looks like a bad Muppet. The whole scene is so dark, you don't know what's happening. Like, just the sheer, like, the visual effects in this movie are nowhere near what you are expecting for this kind of, like, $200 million thing.
So I thought about this in terms of the bad writing, the bad directing, and the bad CGI. And I think it's because after the first Wonder Woman film, it did really well, and
it was pretty good. The best of the bunch,
and it did really well, and it was the only DC film that was actually watchable. Right, it was by far the best DC film that had come out. And then in my mind, they rushed Wonder Woman 2 into production, not realizing that the pandemic was going to happen, and they could probably have taken their time.
But this thing was all done before. Like, I actually,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Saw, like, some of this getting filmed in DC like 2 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was all done, and they hung on to it because they were trying to give it, like, the best moment, and then they missed their window because the pandemic happened. So it ended up being delayed like almost 3 years, or however long
it
was.
What's that got to do with that?
Well, that's because they rushed it into production, and then they held on to it because they wanted to get as much money as possible in terms of, like, you know, let's release it here in this window and in this window. They didn't want it to go up against Endgame or any of the Marvel stuff, so they never released it then. And then the pandemic happened, and it was too late. So they had this, like, piece of crap that they rushed into production, and they didn't release it forever, and then they had to release it in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, I hope they had an incredible catering on the set, because I don't know where that money went for this thing. It did not go to visual effects.
I'm sorry, but I blame Patty Jenkins for this. Like, she wrote it, she directed it, and it sucks. And the first Wonder Woman was very good. Like, it's super watchable.
Weird that it's the same director. You would never even guess.
It doesn't make any sense to me that this is the product that she came up with. And I really wish that they had not let her write this film, because all of the problems are in the script. Like, it's just a garbage premise. It's so sentimental.
I don't know that all. Like, normally I will be real bitchy about the script, as you know. I don't
know.
Yeah,
where are you? You well, hate this stuff.
I think she failed. I think she was trying to challenge some of the, like, premises of a big, dumb superhero movie, like, not successfully, right? Like, I think the fact that it does end with a big, you know, shoot 'em up, blue lightning monster was an attempt. I think she's continually trying to, like take this character. Like, what you see in the first one, I think, to great effect, is, like, this is a woman, and she's got kind of a different set of priorities than a male hero might, but she's still, like, a, you know, total badass, like, fighter. I think that, as we already talked about, I think that does not come across in this one. She's just always swooping and flying, you know, in the air. But I do think that she, and it's much more ham-handed, but you see, like, she's trying to, like, protect the innocent all the time, which they always make these superheroes do. But I feel like you could see what they were trying to do here. But I think I think the story problem, script problem, visual effects problems, I didn't like it per se. You hated it though, right?
I think it's safe to say I hated it. And even being in a movie theater and watching it was not enough to gloss over some of these issues. I said that this was actually the worst DC film.
No.
That
they're all so, this was like in the middle of the pack.
I actually was going to say that this is the worst DC film and that it takes a lot to outrank something like Justice League. And
oh, you didn't see Batman versus Superman.
I did. I've
there's
seen,
no way you saw that.
I saw Batman versus Superman. I'll be honest. I think that this is the worst DC film because it is so ridiculously schmaltzy and the performances are so bad that I cannot sit through it. I watched Justice League recently, and as many problems as that has, it is actually a million times better than Wonder Woman.
Not. That movie is
unwatchable. I don't know how to explain
it
to you.
Terrible.
You haven't even watched it.
I did watch it. I have watched it. We were going to both rewatch Justice League.
I did rewatch
it. I started, I was like, oh, this is such a piece of shit. I turned it off 15 minutes in.
Okay.
That's the thing, like the Marvel movies, they're not great works of art.
Right.
But at least half of them are really fun to watch. Like I've probably rewatched half the Marvel movies two or three times. I've seen all the DC movies. I've never rewatched one of them because none of them are at all fun.
They're not fun at all. I mean, I get that, but they don't physically like repulse me. And I think that Wonder Woman 1984, I cannot bear to rewatch any of it.
Also, the problems we just referred to with the Wonder Woman 1984, the like, where did the budget go, the lack of visual effects, the shitty production design, all Justice League looks like it was made by high schoolers. They spent the equivalent of the GDP of a mid-sized country on that stupid piece of crap, and it's like the costumes look like they were made in a barn.
I mean,
the whole movie's completely dark. You never know what's happening.
There's so much wrong with the Justice League film,
and the acting in that one is way like at least all these people are credible. Like in that Justice League movie, they're all so stupid and annoying.
I think that part of it is that Gal Gadot as a Wonder Woman in Justice League,
she's the only good part of that movie,
does so much more cool Wonder Woman shit in that train wreck of a film than she ever gets to do in 1984. Like, if you want to see her be Wonder Woman, watch Batman versus Superman. Watch, like, if there is somebody on YouTube.
No one, I cannot in good conscience ask anyone to watch Batman versus Superman.
Someone on YouTube has put a super cut together of all of her parts from Batman versus Superman and from Justice League, and you should just watch that YouTube video.
So one thing I did, I remembered at the time watching it and remembered last night when I watched the 15 minutes of it. So this thing that we talked about where Gal Gadot has this kind of ineffable watchability thing. Who made Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder.
Even more so than the Wonder Woman movies, the film, the camera is so fascinated by her. Like, there's multiple times when, like, even in a group scene, everyone will stop talking, and instead of cutting, the camera will just linger on her face.
As you should, because
she's... Not even lasciviously, just like, look how magnificent she is.
Yeah.
And that happens, like, 10 times in that movie. It's really
It is
obvious.
Really something, but she does, like, capture your attention in that way where you just cannot take your eyes off of her.
Although
and it's everything.
A few, like, kind of like long shots of her, like the sort of lingering like camera going up her and it's
like super hot. Yeah.
Yeah, and a little bit of a like, look how hot Wonder Woman is in her little skirt kind of vibe in that one maybe.
I don't know. I watched Justice League again and it is pretty bad.
What
but
about boring, disaffected Batman and incredibly annoying Superman and unbelievably stupid Flash and all of that. And like, I forgot that the cyborg guy was in it.
I've actually seen Justice League twice recently. I would say within the last month. I watched it last night because it was randomly on cable, and I turned it on while I was doing other things. But 3 or 4 weeks ago, I sat down and watched the whole thing all the way through, and I forgot about Cyborg both times. Like, every time he shows up, I'm like, oh, who is this guy and why
like
is he here?
It was like they like, wait a minute, can we get a black guy in here? Yeah, just don't give him anything to do or anything. Just, we got to get a black guy on the poster.
Yeah, Jason Momoa as Aquaman is probably the most interesting
That character
role.
Is dumb, but he does have kind of the same thing Gal Gadot has, that, like, big presence, like physical magnetism. Like, he seems like a superhero.
I don't understand old Ben Affleck at all. I don't get it. I don't understand why he wants to be Batman. I don't understand why he wanted to be ridiculed like this. But
I remember at one point, like a million years ago, like, oh, it's going to be Ben Affleck, but he's like old, grizzled, jaded Batman, which I would have been totally there for. Like, do you remember Logan, the old Wolverine movie?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, great movie.
Great movie.
And it's the same premise. Like, let's take the superhero you know and love, but he's like, he's beaten down and he's sort of disaffected. But in that one, you believe that, like, oh, he is that, but like, whatever is in him that makes him do this stuff, you know, is roused again. But yeah, Ben Affleck's Batman just looks like his supervisor made him come into work and he's pissed and he's just like, oh, we gotta go do some superheroing, everybody.
Well, the reason Logan worked is because it was the tail end of him being Wolverine, right? Like, there's all this other stuff that's happened to him, and he's really ready to give up that mantle. The way they positioned this was old grizzled Batman, but he's going to start the Justice League. That doesn't make any sense.
Ben Affleck's first outing. Yeah, and
it was his first outing. So, like, if you were going to go with old grizzled Batman, bring in new Robin or Nightwing or whatever the hell that guy's called.
Yeah, I think with, like, specifically with Superman and Batman, we have seen so many, like, portrayals of these, like, so many actors and directors have put these exact same characters on the screen that, like, you can't just sort of... I really do think that the people who made that movie thought, like, it doesn't matter. Everyone loves these characters. They're all going to show up to see this. But we, like, it was the exact same thing as the Avengers movies, right? Like, we saw all that shit already done better 3 years before.
And that's the problem with the DC films, is that they have no new ideas. So they're just stealing from the Marvel films. Like, they're now planning to do a multiverse Batman with all of the Batmans, which is something that Marvel already has in the works, and we're going to start seeing a bunch of it in the coming years.
Yeah, one thing I will say for both these Wonder Woman movies is they don't try to, like, they just make them a movie about this character. They don't try to, it's not like, she talks to Batman over here, and someone mentions the Flash or whatever. They don't do that to us.
Well, this is, in that context, it's also really disappointing that this is the first time we've had a really great Wonder Woman character who can carry these films, and they gave her such shitty plot and such shitty CGI to work with.
But I literally am baffled that you think this movie, it wasn't great. I'd give it a C at best.
I think.
But there are some Fs in this whole franchise.
No, so wait, I would call this a hard F, because I found that speechifying at the end completely awful. I mean, it was just unwatchably bad. I found every single time Pedro Pascal is on screen, and I love him, I just want to turn the channel, because it's so, the performance is terrible, and it's under Patty Jenkins' direction. She's like, I understand what she was going for, but it's a total miss.
So I'm going to give Wonder Woman a C minus. Sounds like you're going to give it a...
I'm going to give it an F.
Oh, that's really harsh.
It is harsh.
Really, you're really bummed out by this movie.
Do you have a movie MVP in this film?
Do I have a movie MVP? Well, so normally, and this is the thing we do on the Tim Movies podcast, because we are talking about a single actor, we have done a Jennifer Lopez season most recently, a Matthew McConaughey season, and a Keanu Reeves season. We talk about the actor in the film who we most enjoyed, who was not our title actor.
Right, who's not the main actor. So it can't be Gal Gadot.
Well, I feel like, we're not doing, this is not a Gal Gadot podcast, so I'm going to, you're making a face, but I feel like I'm on firm legal grounds here. Gal Gadot is the best thing about this movie by a long shot. So, yes, were we doing a Gal Gadot season of the podcast, she would not be eligible. But as this is merely a bonus episode, I'm gonna make it her.
Okay, do you have a least...
Has she been in any... I've never seen her in anything else. I've only seen her be Wonder Woman. Does she do other things?
Well, oh, my God!
Sorry.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I... What else is she in?
Okay, she is in the Fast and Furious franchise.
No, I only saw a couple of those. They're fun.
You guys cannot see the looks.
Entertaining.
You cannot see the
really
looks that I'm giving Brian, but I'm giving him the stink eye like you
would
believe.
New listeners to the 10 Movies podcast, if you want to hear Hemel tear me a new one, I want you to go back a couple in the stream and find the second act is a movie by Jennifer Lopez that we watched.
Oh, I was so hot about
that. I found
still.
Was perfectly acceptable, but had some mild criticism of. And anyway, it was a beating.
Anyway, Gal Gadot is... from the Fast and Furious films. She dies, unfortunately, but I'm sure they'll figure out a way to bring her back to life.
I've seen two or three of those, and she's not in them, unless I'm just forgetting.
You're just forgetting. She doesn't show up until the one in Mexico.
Is that the one where
it's the fourth one. One where Brian and Dom reunite, and then you see her in the fourth, five, and six, and she dies at the end of six.
And does she have her magnetic, ineffable star quality in that movie?
She's phenomenal in all of them. Yeah. Like, yeah, you again cannot take your eyes off of her. And they do so much. The Fast and Furious movies are way more respectful to her and giving her stuff to do.
So you feel like Gal Gadot is an unacceptable choice. You hated Pedro Pascal. You seemed a little down on Chris Pine, so it feels like Kristen Wiig's your only option.
No,
here.
I mean, I would say the movie MVP is... God, I have to think about this, but yeah, it probably is Chris Pine. His entire role is dumb supportive boyfriend, and I think that's a niche he fits into really well. He's like, yep, I'm just gonna be boyfriend guy. I don't have any relevance to the plot whatsoever. This is a role that would have been given to a woman in any other superhero movie, and he's just gonna run with it and be like, yep, look at how hot I am.
He's one of those people that I like. He's not quite as bad as Jeremy Renner, where I'm being constantly asked to accept him as a wonderful movie star. But I feel like I've seen him. Oh, I just recently rewatched one of those like Star Treks where
he's good in Star Trek.
He's fine.
I like Chris Pine a lot.
The thing that Gal Gadot has that we were talking about, Chris Pine does not have.
He's a better. He's not like that movie star handsome. He's definitely got a little bit more like plainness to his face. Like, he just to me looks like a very handsome white guy, but there's so many handsome white guys named Chris.
Yeah, maybe it's a crowded field.
It's like a very crowded field, but he's really good in he did some bank robbing movie and he was really good in that. So I think he's actually
fine.
A good actor.
Yeah, he's all right. I'm just saying.
So he's my movie MVP just because he wasn't giving anything to do and he ran with it. Was like, yep, I'm here for my paycheck. I'm here to be hot. Let's go for it.
Now, when we watch movies on the 10 Movies podcast, we have begun recently, particularly with our Jennifer Lopez season, discussing how woke the film was or how woke perhaps it was not. Did you feel Wonder Woman 84 was particularly woke or unwoke?
I think that it tried to be woke and it missed on pretty much every level because it just tried to pay lip service to all these different things and didn't engage with any of them whatsoever.
Now, is having a woman as the central figure in a like a big budget smash 'em up action movie, do you feel like we have come so far as a people that that is no longer get points for doing that at all?
If she had done it better, like for the first Wonder Woman, I think she got points for it, but I don't think you get points for bad execution.
So you're retroactively taking some bonus away for like the poor script and CGI.
Well, it was just such a bad plot, and she didn't really do anything as Wonder Woman, and the other parts of like female empowerment that are in there was none of that to like wound up within the film in terms of like exercising her autonomy or anything like that. She was just running around after some dumb dude the entire time.
I mean,
it
I
made
guess that
no
she's,
sense.
She's like what the yeah, what the movie didn't do was it never like it's asking us to believe, especially in 1984, that she's this incredibly like poised, accomplished woman who's very sure of herself. You feel like what they could have done and it would have been maybe interesting is have her encounter people who are not prepared to see women behave like that, particularly, you know, 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's none of that. She just is fine.
And there is this, like, in the film, there's, like, an epidemic of catcalling happening on the streets of D.C. Like, no woman can walk down the street without being catcalled. And that is about as much of a nod as you're going to get to, like, sexual harassment in these D.C. films.
Kristen Wiig at one point is catcalled by this, you know, weird shambling drunk business man. And one woman shows up and throws him into a garbage can. And later, the same guy comes out when she's superpowered and she kicks his ass. That felt very, like,
girl power move that had no substance behind it whatsoever.
Although you did remind me, talking about the streets of D.C., so this movie's set in Washington, D.C. We live in Washington, D.C., in the greater D.C. area. Lots and lots of movies are set here, but very few of them are filmed here. So if you're from the D.C. area, you can watch D.C. movies and, like,
yeah,
constantly see, like, oh, that's not actually what that looks like. This was clearly filmed in Toronto or New York. But this one was, a lot of it was filmed on, like, they go into the metro. You never see the inside of a real metro. Every other movie, they go, we got to go into the subway,
they're really in
New York.
They're really in Georgetown. But the thing is that the D.C. parts of it within this, like, 2.5-hour movie are maybe 15 minutes. Am I wrong? Like, 15, 20 minutes?
Well, it's not, like, yeah, if you were from any other city, it wouldn't matter at all. I'm just saying, if you're, like, being a D.C. person, I did appreciate seeing, like,
No.
On location D.C. sets.
No, I do. I appreciate that. I'm just saying that it does not take up the bulk of the film, all of the D.C. stuff.
No.
Except the amount of time they spent filming here was a lot, and the amount of just, like, closing down all of Georgetown so that they could get one shot of Commander Salamander that was not relevant to the plot at all. Like, Patty, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your budget?
We were downtown when they filmed, like, there's a scene where they're smashing things. And it's like a 5-minute scene. We happen to be downtown when they closed all of Constitution Avenue for a day. you're right. That's a big undertaking.
And she was like, well, you know, Diana Prince is like walking through Georgetown, which is great if you're in D.C. and you're like, oh, that's really Georgetown. But it could have been anywhere.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
It did not matter whatsoever.
Well, so I feel like we've really said all there is possibly could be to say about this. I don't adequate film.
Well, terrible I thought film. It was terrible.
It was adequate.
So after I walked out of the theater, I was looking forward to, they're going to make another Wonder Woman movie, and I was going to look, and I'm looking forward to it, but I really wish that they would let somebody else handle the character now. Like, I really want them to do what Marvel did with the Thor film, which is like, give it to an off-the-wall Taika Waititi type who is really going to be able to push Wonder Woman as a character in a franchise in a different way, because Patty had two shots. The first one was really good. The second was terrible. And now it's time to let somebody else
run. You're
very
harsh. You're kicking her off after two misses.
She, come on, man. Like, don't you think somebody else needs to be able to take on this character? Maybe a director of color? Like, give us something else.
I think if they're going to do it again, I guess they are, don't make it be the end of the world. For Christ, for the love of Jesus on a bus, I am so sick of the world being almost blown up every single time.
We talk about stakes. You talked about it earlier. And one of the reasons the Spider-Man movies work so well, the ones with Tom Holland, is that the stakes are so personal.
Yeah.
And they're so small.
They're good. That's good.
And it totally works.
You're
it's like, just
oh,
like,
this guy's going to hurt my family or blow up a building.
Yeah. It literally is just like, this guy is going to steal some stuff from a plane and I need to stop him. And it's great. It works so well.
Yeah. For a superhero movie, if they're going to do this again, I want small but meaningful stakes. I want not that we're blowing up. And I want Wonder Woman to kick some ass with punching.
Yes.
Also, they make, spoiler alert, she learns how to fly in this movie.
Oh, okay. I know this is, we're supposed to be wrapping up.
Wonder Woman doesn't fly.
I was going to ask you, does she fly?
Well, the field teach a source material is not important to me, but no, she doesn't fly. But, like, the flying is so orthogonal to the plot. It's just, she doesn't fly to solve a problem. She doesn't really even learn how to fly just 1 minute. And she's not even flying cool. Like, at least Iron Man, when you watch those scenes, you're like, holy shit, that looks like a dude in an armor suit flying. She's just, like, woofing around in the sky for no reason for, like, 10 minutes.
I don't know. My friend Regal says that Wonder Woman can kind of fly. Like, she's able to jump
really
far.
She's like the Hulk. She can jump like a mile or whatever.
She can, like, jump really far and then, like, use momentum to carry herself forward. But that's pretty cheap.
They needed her to fly for some reason, okay. But she's just like, I'm going to fly.
Well, in the film, they make a really direct link saying that she's flying. Because there's, like, a corny line with Steve Trevor talking about flying. And then she thinks about that line.
He's a pilot and you have to feel the wind.
Yeah.
And she's feeling that.
Yeah.
Also,
boo.
Are we just bitching now at the end of the podcast episode? Yeah. At one point, and this is real dumb, this made me mad. At one point, he's in her apartment, and he sees, like, a suit of golden armor.
Oh.
Winged golden armor.
God, we didn't even talk about this.
And he's like, whoa, what's that giant suit of winged golden armor wrapped in burlap in your small apartment? She's like, oh, it is a relic of my culture. Don't ask about it. And then they plant, you know, it's Chekhov's suit of golden armor.
Right.
She's gonna
you know
put
it's
it going to
come back, right.
And there's even this bit where she's like, that suit of armor is the most badass thing. And if you wear it, you can fight an army. And there's this flashback of, like, the lady who wore it fighting an army. So she puts it on and she goes to fight one cat lady who kicks her ass and tears the armor up. Why did they have it in the movie at all? There's like 15 minutes about the stupid armor. She puts it on. It doesn't do anything. Then she kicks it off and goes and finishes the movie.
I mean, it can't really be that great of armor if, like, a, you know, cheetah on steroids is able to, like, claw it off.
Yeah, torn through like tinfoil.
It doesn't make any sense.
But the movie made such a point of, like, this is going to be a big deal later, the golden armor. It's in all the marketing. And it's just such a, you know, moment of nothing.
Well, is a really good summation of the entire film, which is it was in all the marketing. And it looked really cool, like, as a still image, but ultimately it was meaningless.
Her actual suit is cooler than the dumb armor, and they barely had her wearing it. Wear the Wonder Woman outfit.
Yeah,
anyway, skirt.
I am of the opinion that somebody else needs to make this Wonder Woman film. Keep Gal Gadot and just give it to another director. It's time to reinvigorate the franchise.
I'm just baffled by all these giant-ass movies. And we bitch about this all the time on this podcast. We're not a bad movies podcast or a film critic podcast or a bitchin' podcast, but this comes up a lot. You make these movies, you spend God untold amounts of like, you could feed half of India for a year on what they're spending on these dumb movies. And they make such, like, you know, do a little better. Try a little harder with what you're doing, people.
Yeah, try a little harder. Think just a little bit more about what you're doing. And this is a movie, I think, that I don't know if this is a movie that was made by committee or if it was like they were so happy with Patty Jenkins because she did so good for that first Wonder Woman movie that they just let her run wild with the second one. I don't know what happened here, but let's not make that mistake again.
Well, earlier you referenced the Justice League, and that to me felt like a, like, yeah, just such a, like,
that felt like
what
a committee
are all the things
movie
that people want to see? Yeah. Make a list of them, put them all in the big stupid movie, which is unforgivable to me. This one felt like the product of a creative vision. But yeah, just a mishmashy, wet creative vision.
I know. Do better. All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us and listening to us rail against this film. If you have thoughts, you can tweet them to us at 10 Movies, or you can tweet them to me at Hem Javeri or at Brian. At Brian_Minter.
And the regularly scheduled next season of the 10 Movies Podcast will be back very soon.
Very soon.
We got to pick a new person to watch some. I don't think it's going to be Gal Gadot.
No.
You know, as much as we enjoy her work. But we need to figure out who it's going to be. It's got to be someone who's got a lot of movies, someone people like. Quite frankly, we watched a bunch of Jennifer Lopez movies and no one had ever heard of them, so that wasn't great. So get at us on Twitter or get at us on 10movies.net and let us know who you would like to see us cover in the next season of the podcast.
We'll see you soon.